Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Dave Venturella, Executive Director of the Secure Communities Program at the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Also joining our conversation from IBM is David Lipstein.
Dave, let's focus on what's happened to date with the deployment of secure communities. Would you provide recent secure community statistics that illustrate its effectiveness and detail some recent success stories?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Since we've deployed and began our deployment back in 2008, over 2 million fingerprint transactions have come through this system. And of those transactions, we've had matches against our database, IDENT, about over 200,000 individuals we've identified through that process. And again, you have to realize we're only in about 185 jurisdictions. It's not nationwide. So to put it in a context, where before this capability, ICE would have maybe encountered 300,000 of those individuals on a yearly basis, and now we're getting fingerprints of over 2 million individuals, 2 million transactions. So by leaps and bounds, we've been able to identify more people with the same kind of resources that we had about two years ago, and now identifying more of the very serious criminal aliens just through this capability. So if you didn't know what we did before, and I said we did 200,000 arrested 200,000 criminal aliens, you said, wow, that's a lot. But now we're talking about millions of people that we have an opportunity to identify and then take action on. So the number, the volume increase just by this capability is enormous. As far as some of the success stories in Boston, the very first fingerprint transaction that went through hit on an individual who was arrested over 16 times. He had been arrested for disorderly conduct at this point in time, but had major drug convictions. Had been removed from the United States at least a couple of occasions. And it was funny because the assistant director for FBI CJIS was at the facility with the head of the State Identification Bureau. It was the first location in the state of Massachusetts that was receiving it. And within minutes of the fingerprints being sent, that result came back. And immediately they said, this is a guy that we have to detain. ICE is going to want to remove this individual because he's been removed before. And it was the first one. So, I mean, it was amazing that you had all of the top guys there watching the process, seeing how it works, and then the very first one being a very, very serious felon that we had previously removed before. And again, we see those types of cases throughout the country, whether it's in North Carolina, it's in California, Texas. It happens every day. In Fairfax County, we had an individual very similar, probably almost 20 different arrests and convictions, people actually serving jail time for these offenses being identified, people claiming to be U.S. citizens who are not U.S. citizens being detected through this capability, people providing completely fraudulent names being detected through this capability. So every day we see those, and every day those success stories start to pile up. You know, it makes me feel good that we are identifying people that we do not want released back into our communities and should be removed from the United States because they violated their status or they're certainly overstayed their time here in the United States. And so it's working. We think it's effective. You know, we're very, very hopeful that we'll be able to meet our goal to leverage this capability throughout the country.
Great. I'd like to transition to the future. Going forward, what trends do you think will have the most impact on your efforts? And the other part of that question is, given your perspective, what types of technology, emerging technologies, may actually assist you in enhancing your efforts?
Trends. Well, I mean, when I think of that, I think of a couple things. Certainly, the political landscape can greatly impact how we do business in the future. So it'll be interesting to see how the immigration debate carries out over the next couple of months and couple of years to see what kind of impact. But for I guess even with that, you know, the bottom line is that people who are in this country with lawful status or unlawful status, unfortunately, sadly, are going to commit crimes. I think this capability will allow us to continue to pursue our criminal alien enforcement objectives. I think for us, again, is being able to be interoperable with a lot of these different systems. When we did a survey of local jurisdictions, we found out that in one county alone, there's probably 30 or 40 different booking systems that they leverage. And so how do you ensure that the individual you identified as they go through the booking and the jail systems, we have connectivity with those to ensure that we're tracking them as they go through the local process. So certainly the capabilities of integrating or being interoperable with all these different systems, I think is going to be key for us going forward. And again, I think we're only scratching the surface on the information sharing capabilities that help us analyze or predict trends or patterns will be helpful in the future for us. I think for us, you know, we have to go away from the model of more people is going to result in better results or more results. I think we have to look at our processes and see where technology can help us. And, you know, I think this generation of law enforcement kind of gravitate towards that because of the types of technologies that they've been exposed to. And I think you'll see law enforcement, whether it's at the federal or state or local level, gravitate to more use of technology to help them solve crime and catch the bad guys.
So what would be your advice to that next generation of folks who are looking for a career in public service or law enforcement?
Well, I think my advice to them is if they want to make a difference, then public service is certainly the way to go. Regardless of what you're doing, what agency you're working for, you do make a difference. For me, I've been my 20-plus years have been in immigration enforcement. But you touch so many different people in that. You know, you're able to carry out the mission of the agency. You're, you know, for me, I carry out the, you know, the policies of this administration. And for me, it's been so rewarding in that, you know, I think I've had an impact on individuals. And again, just this particular program, catching these bad guys, making sure that they don't get released back into the community, you know, is a good feeling because I live in those the communities where we deploy. We have people that live in the communities where we've deployed, and we do not want to see these individuals go back and reoffend. And just the fact that we have a role in that we've impacted and improved public safety just by doing our jobs is very rewarding. And I think a lot of people, at least that I've dealt with while this initiative has been launched, feel that way. I mean, they see the difference that we're making, and they want to be part of it. And again, I think if you want to make a difference, then public service is the way to go. The other thing I would say is take advantage of all the opportunities that are presented to you. I think earlier I said that I tried everything when I joined the former INS, and that was very helpful, doing things that other people didn't want to do or were a little apprehensive about doing. You know, I did, and it was very rewarding. It exposed me to a lot of things that I don't think I would have had an opportunity if I just stayed in my lane, so to speak. So just take advantage of those opportunities, and you know, I think your objective has to be to make a difference, and if you have that, then you will.
Great. We want to thank you for your time today, but most of all, we'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
You're very welcome. I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to doing this again in the future to talk about our successes in 2013.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dave Venturella, Executive Director of the Secure Communities Program within U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. My co-host from IBM has been Dave Lipstein. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thank you for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.